Well, good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Oh, let's try that again. Merry Christmas. There we go. Why don't you guys give the praise team another hand? They put in a lot of work, and all the vocalists and the band. It was fun to kind of do something different. Sometimes we can get a little fancy and get ahead of ourselves, and it doesn't work out quite right, but everybody put a lot of effort into it. All the crew in the booth, all the lights and videos and all that you see takes a lot of people to get that done, so we're appreciative. They would help us come celebrate. If you're with us this morning for the first time, it's an honor to have you with us. Whether you are family that came willingly, or maybe you're family that just are appeasing somebody to leave you alone for Christmas and you're here, either way, we're welcome. We're glad you're here and you're welcome. And I pray that you leave here today not only feeling like you celebrated the arrival of our Savior, but that you met God today and that you've encountered God in a new way today. And that's kind of my goal today. You know, I'll admit that the last couple of weeks we've been talking about how difficult it is to keep your focus and how your silent nights aren't really silent nights anymore. And I'm going to also admit that part of it's our own fault. And for me, that's because I'm a news junkie. Anybody else a news junkie? I'm the only one. Like, you want to know what's going on. Like, a few weeks ago, we unplugged. My wife and I every year try to go for a couple days and unplug. We went on a cruise where I didn't have any internet. And I didn't have any connectivity to the outside world. And I realized something that when I got back, the world keeps going, right? When I got back off the boat, the world didn't push pause and wait for me to get back. Okay, we can't do any more news until Clint gets back because he's got to know what's going on. They didn't wait on me. And I noticed, for me, being a news junkie, that if you look at even our government, and again, this is not a political statement, whether you fall on the political spectrum, you know, the fighting in our own government. You know, we're going to try to get you. No, we're going to try to get you. We're going to pull this maneuver. We're going to do this. Then you look to the world and even in our own country and the ridiculous violence, needless violence, violence that is, you know, that is children and just turns your stomach. If you look around the world, the chaos. I read a thing last night that just in the last several weeks in Jerusalem, in the Palestinian-held part of Jerusalem, that Christians were just wiped out last night, the last couple nights. Just completely wiped out. Whole churches just wiped out. You see reports of hurting, struggling people. Sometimes, quite honestly, it's brought on by ourselves, right? Like, we didn't need the devil's help. We dug our own hole. Sometimes it's of no fault of the people. It's truly innocent victims. And as I was praying a few weeks ago about Christmas and about this message, I came across this verse in the Old Testament. And this is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah the prophet is looking at Israel, and he's bothered. Israel, again, has gone around the mountain several times, and they just keep denying God. And I found this verse. And Jeremiah says, my grief. In other words, life's not right. Things aren't right. And I know you showed up this morning and think, okay, it's a Christmas message. We're going to sing about babies and angels and joy to the world. Hang with me. It's coming, okay? But Jeremiah said, hey, my life's not, there's something not right. And I'm grieved by it. I can't change it. There's an answer to a problem. There's an answer I'm looking for to a problem I have, and I can't figure it out. I can't make it work. We would say that I've tried everything I know to do, and life's just not working. But he says, my grief is, and then this phrase, is beyond healing. Now, this is where as we celebrate Christmas, I want you to be honest with ourselves. How many of you have said, God, I got this issue, and this is beyond me? Like, this is bigger than me. God, I don't know what to do. I'm in between a rock and a hard place. And those two places are getting closer together and things are getting tight. I can't figure out my issue. See, Jeremiah says, listen, my heart is broken because I don't have the answer. He knew what the answer was. He knew what the people of God should be doing, but he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't fix it. It was broken. You know, for Christmas this year for us as a family, I said before, we only have one Christmas tradition, and that is the ever all important must happen baking of the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. Nothing else matters to us. That's what we do on Christmas morning. And this Christmas is different for us. If you haven't heard, we're in the middle of, literally in the middle of moving. We're changing houses. And Mabel was so concerned that we're not going to have our tradition. So we had to assure her, we will have cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. The other added benefit of it is it got me out of putting Christmas lights up. If you know my wife and all, we are not big decorators as far as Christmas goes and, you know, big elaborate, I don't even know what you call it, displays. Some of y'all have it down to an art form, you know. So it got me out of it. And I know I don't have to put up as many lights as y'all do. If y'all want to see a brother in bondage, go see Ken Harlan, because that brother puts up some lights. Miss Alma's got him trained. go out east of Geechee and keep riding. When you see the power flux, that's where the Harlan's residence is. But it got me thinking, our lives are a lot like these Christmas lights. And I actually brought some today. I know I don't do a lot of props, but we pick up the lights out of our bucket, which is probably stored in a bucket and put in the seat in your attic. And if they're not dry rotted and you've used them 1,000 times, the first problem we face is it usually comes out what? All knotted up. And you know for sure that when you put them up, you took your time. I even went and bought an electrical cord thing for mine, and I would wind them up so that next year I could just rip them right off and go for it, because we never changed our design at our old house. I just put the clips up, put the lights up, and 10 minutes, I was done. We celebrated Christmas, and that was it. But when we take them out, I think they're a lot like our lives. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to just plug it up and go. These lights were designed for a purpose, to do something. To do what? Create light. That's what they do. They can't do anything else. They're not pretty. If we plug your whole house up and you get it all decorated and there's no power, guess what? You still got a plain old house. It's not Christmas. It's not decorated. So the first thing we have to do, and we answer this problem in our lives, is we have to get them untangled. So, and I really did tangle these. So we get them untangled, and we have to figure out, in life, the same way, I have to get this to work. And then that didn't work, so I try again. And then we pull it out again. And then then they get hung up together. And then you usually say a few words I can't say live in front of people, because we just get aggravated. And life becomes this way. And we never really truly get it untangled, do we? Because as soon as you think you got it untangled, the kids show up and want to help, right? And then you end up with what? Right? It's all messed up again. Life just doesn't work. We have this issue, and it just doesn't work. It seems to be this unsolvable problem. Well, the truth of the matter, it is. We can't solve it. So even if you get it, let's just say for the sake of argument. Oh, wait, there we go. It's still got a knot in it. Let's just say for the sake of argument that these are untangled. They're perfect. Well, now that they're untangled, what's the next problem we face? No. That all of the earth now rotates through this one little bulb. And nothing in the refrigerator won't even work if this bulb doesn't work, right? Everything shuts down. You see, even in our lives, if this string represents all of us in the kingdom of God, have you ever thought about this? I think we are light bulbs, and they're in the kingdom. There's stuff that you have to do that I can't do what I need to do until you do what you need to do. And it's just not going to work. Can you imagine the complexity of that? Everybody all over the world doing what God designed them to do so it works. yet God figured it out. And then in the old school kind where you had to screw in the light bulbs, and you screw it in, and you replace all the bulbs, and you go by each one, and you wiggle them, and you shake them, and then you curse at them some more because they're still not working, right? You go through all of them, and they still don't work. And then you replace them, and now they're supposed to be fixed. Well, what do you do next? See, even when we got it right, even when we think we've got it right, if some of you are more perfect than I am, and you live right, and you do right, and you act right, and you tithe, and you give, and you show up at church, and you serve on a dream team, guess what? There's still not enough power to make it work. You have to do this. There's this thing called power and electricity. And I don't care how much you rub your hands together or you rub a balloon on your head and try to stir up some power, until this plug meets this plug, until this messy life meets the source of power, nothing happens, right? And see, we have this problem, and we try what we think works. I can make this work. I'll go buy a generator. Well, even if you buy a generator, guess what happens? You run out of gas. It breaks. Even if the great powerman, we have linemen and the guys that work in the electric department that go to this church, they'll even tell you, it's going to break. And that's their job to fix it. We have issues, we have problems, and we just can't fix it. Because what we try what we think works, and it doesn't. So until you plug in, then they work. Then there's power. Sad thing is, we try what works and it doesn't work. Then we try the next thing. We try what we told works. And I know some of you have done this with the Christmas lights. There's old wives' tales or things they would say. Well, if this particular fuse doesn't do this, and we are barring fuses, we're screwing in bulbs, we're shaking it. When did shaking a string of lights become the answer? Right? Well, you do it because you probably saw your mom and dad do it, right? You saw somebody else stand out in the front yard and shake the lights. Come on, they're going to work. It's kind of like the broke down car. If you want to fix a car, you have to do what? You have to kick it, right? Just kick it. It'll work. I had a friend, his dad said his answer to everything was, if it won't work, I just walk out and kick it. Well, see, what you're told, we try it, it doesn't work. People tell you, well, if you want your life, if you need to find that answer to the problem you have, go to Barnes & Noble and go to the self-help book, right? And then there's going to be a book that will tell you how to solve the issue that you face. And if that doesn't work, go to the other aisle. Then there's the book for dummies, right? How to do whatever you need to learn to do for dummies. And then that'll help you fix it. So it's the self-help, it's the doing what people told you would work. And we're trying to find this answer. And some of us do the third thing. And I'm sure there are more, but I gave you three. We just try nothing at all. This is the bury your head in the sand and hope it all goes away. This, by the way, is the very definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over and then what? Expecting different results. And we just do nothing. God, I've got this issue. I'm hurting. I'm lost. I've got this, I've been hurt emotionally. I've been hurt in a relationship. I'm struggling in life. Yet we get up every morning and do the same thing over and over. So you see, we needed an answer. We need a Savior. But as I said last week, the Savior part is just the initial step. The Bible refers to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Savior is the eternity, but the other part of being Lord is letting our lives follow Him. We need somebody to lead us. And what I think the answer is, and what is the end results, we never reach our purpose. A lot of us have houses that are decorated, and you've spent a lot of time. Your lives are pretty. Your hair is perfect. Your weight is perfect. I mean, in today's society, we can nip, tuck, pin up, drop down, anything you want. They'll fix it, right? But if you're not born the way you want it, that's God's problem. We'll just let man fix it. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But it doesn't turn the lights on. It doesn't fix our lives. And God said, hey, I need a way for these people to fix their lives, to fix what's wrong with them. And the first problem they have is they can't spend eternity with me because there's a price, a bill that has to be paid. So real quick, in the next, just give me 10 more minutes, 15 minutes. I'm going to do my best to get us out of here early today so we can start celebrating. So I want to give you my take on what I think happened the night that Jesus showed up. What Christmas, the reason for the season, what Christmas really means. Because I think we need an answer. And if you look at the part of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says that that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. Now, let me point out that the shepherds of the day, you know, I think when we do manger scenes and we do plays and the shepherds are all nicely dressed, robed, bearded guys with big staffs and they're real stately. Shepherds of the day weren't. Shepherds of this day lived in a field with the sheep 24/7, didn't take baths, weren't clean. And I don't know, I mean, you might see some of y'all's lambs and sheep and that y'all show are all pretty and fluffed. But when they live in the field, they don't stay that way. They stink. So that night, there were shepherds standing in the field guarding the flocks, guarding what God had given them. And look at verse 9. Suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the radiance of his glory, it surrounded them. A note there that when God shows up, he doesn't just show up in a little blip. He surrounds it. He surrounds life, and that's what he's done for us. But it says of them, and I even highlighted it up here for you, it says they were what? Terrified. Honestly, how many of you are ever terrified when God shows up? When he intervenes in a situation in your life? Me? It's okay. Sometimes it's that God shows up and it's just overwhelming. And can you imagine being out in the dark of the night? If you live out in the country when there's no moon, nothing going on, it's a different kind of dark, right? And they're out and you don't know the stars and the moon. It says this bright light showed up out of nowhere and suddenly they were surrounded and God showed up in their lives. To these people who really were watching some of the most valuable commodities they have, but they weren't the clean and prim and proper in high society. These were the shepherds that got stuck out in the field, that did the hard work, the grunt work. And the angel said to them, hey, relax. You don't need to be afraid. And then he says this phrase that we hear every Christmas. I bring you what? Good news. That will bring great joy, and this is the phrase that I want to key on here. Great joy to who? All people. That there are people, maybe you celebrate Christmas and you've celebrated Christmas all your life, but you still don't feel like you are worthy. The shepherds weren't clean enough. They weren't smell good. They weren't high society. Now what happened on Christmas night was God said, listen, it's time for me to give you guys the answer. And this is the answer for all people, no matter where you find yourself in life. That on this night, God said, enough, I'm going to present this thing in my son that's going to change the world, that's going to let everybody be on the same playing field. Then in the next verse in Luke 2:11, it says the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord. Here's the two names. We needed a Savior. We need somebody to pay a price for eternity. The blood had to be shed for us to enter into eternity. But it's not just that simple that when Jesus showed up, he said, I'm not only going to show up and pay the price, I'm going to show up and I'm going to lead you. You can follow me. If you don't know how to get through life, if you'll just follow me, I'm going to send you a helper. We're going to follow you and we're going to walk this thing through together. And the angel goes on to say that today, born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the Lord has shown up. See, here's what happened. The answer to our mess showed up. And Jesus became the answer to our brokenness. The Bible says, if you read through the Old Testament, thousands of years before Jesus ever showed up, the prophets would say, hey, they're going to be in a mess and they're going to need some help, and I'm going to figure, here's how I'm going to make it happen. And he talks about the line of David and all this succession, his heritage would be from the line of David. And he became the answer to our brokenness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 that you know that God paid a ransom to do what? To save us. And I love this line, from the empty life that you inherited. Again, an honest look. Anybody ever felt like you had an empty life? Like you got a good job maybe, and you got a house and you got everything you need, but there's just something missing? Peter said, hey, when you were born, you inherited something that was empty. Because the Bible says all of us don't get to heaven without Jesus. There's an empty place in all of us until we receive the answer to our brokenness, to our problems, to the way that we can figure out how to turn these lights on, the way that God built us. We would say here that there's steps you have to take. You have to take one step. And the first step for a lot of you is just sometimes getting out of bed. Then there come a time where your step is, okay, God, I need a Savior. I need you to save me. Then there's a step of, okay, now you're saved. Now, God, lead me. Be my Lord. I give you my life. I'll follow you. That's why we teach what we call the growth track, where you walk through this to know God, to find freedom from your brokenness. Because when you're saved, you're not necessarily fixed. I don't know about any of you, but when you got saved, all your problems go away. Last I checked through Christmas, the problems just don't stop this week, right? This week, there's no problems in the world. Everybody's all sunshine, roses, and rainbows, even though we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. No. It's because the Savior saved you from eternity, but there's still a brokenness that God has to help us with, to help us walk through it. That the perfect had to come help and overcome our imperfectness. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It said, God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be what? An offering. Why an offering? Because Jesus did it willingly. God did it willingly. He sent his Son so that we would be made right. So that we could be made right. Price had to be paid. And he paid it. He became the answer to our brokenness. The next thing Jesus did is, and this is hard for a lot of us, is Jesus proved our worth. You say, well, Clint, I don't get that. You know, humans are invaluable. We can't put a price on life. I get that. But there was a price, and it was paid. And when the price is paid, that's what it's worth, right? We just recently, again, sold our home, and we're moving and bought a new home. I can price my house. I can say, I want $2 million for my house, right? And I can have a little shack in the woods. I want $2 million. I can put it on real estate. I can hire an agent. We can take pictures of my little shack in the woods, and I want $2 million. Is that what it's worth? What's it worth? What somebody will pay for it? And God said to they got a problem, and their lives as they are right now aren't worth much. So I'm going to send them the answer, and the answer is worth all of eternity and all of creation. I'm going to send my own Son. The Bible continues back in 1 Peter 1, in verse 20, it said God chose him as a ransom. Even before the world began, God chose and decided, before you are ever on this earth, before even your parents were on this earth, your grandparents, the Bible says that he chose. He goes, I'm going to take care of this because they got a problem they can't fix. They got broken things in their life. They got light bulbs they can't find. Nobody makes those little tiny fuses, right? You can't ever find those little fuses that fit in the light. You have to go rob them from another set of lights. And then those lights don't work. So going from person to person, place to place, doesn't work. And God said, I'm going to give them the answer. I'm choosing now to send them their Son. The Bible says again, we'll go back to the verse we just read a minute ago too, in 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, God made Christ who never sinned. What had never done anything wrong. His perfection had to come in Christmas, and God inserted the perfection of God in his son Jesus into our imperfect world, into our imperfect lives. And that was what we were worth. We were worth the very Son of God. Perfection. We took communion as a family during worship, and that is literally us partaking of our imperfection being overcome by God's perfection. And I know the feeling, if this is all new to you, I still have this same feeling. God, I don't understand. Well, the Bible says that the Bible never says anything about understanding. It just says you have to believe it. And if some of you take medicine for various things, even for a headache, or actually right now I could use some Tylenol because my back hurts, my legs hurt, my arms hurt, because we've been bench pressing refrigerators and freezers and washing machines and couches and that big comfy couch that you think is so incredible. There's really no good way to pick it up. And it doesn't fit out the door that you somehow brought it in, right? So for me right now, I could use some Tylenol. But let me ask you this question. Does anybody, can you explain to me right now, if I put you on the spot and put the microphone in your face and said, tell me how Tylenol works? How does that little pill know to go to my back? To the left side of my back. Not the right side, but the left side. How does it know that my right knee hurts and not my left knee? Anybody? Anybody online want to send me a message? And no. But do you still take Tylenol? Do you still take that medicine? Yes, because what? It works. See, God's the same way. He has the answer, and he's given us the answer, which also proves our worth because he's given us everything he has. But to say I have to fully understand it before I receive it is like going to get a medical degree so you can take Tylenol for headache. It's illogical. Yet we do it all the time. We make Christmas and we celebrate the pageantry and we try to get all religious. And I can't really, I'll celebrate, but I'm not going to give him my life because I can't understand it. I don't fully understand it all the time either. He'll show us, but starting is understanding that Jesus proved our worth. He was the answer to our brokenness. And then the final thing, maybe probably the biggest thing. We have these lights and they don't work. And I've tried. Here's another one for you. And these won't do it, but we'll pretend. Anybody ever gone to the store and bought a whole box of lights? The way some of y'all buy, you probably bought a truckload of, you know, Lowe's had to pack a truck and send it to your house because y'all bought them all. And all for the rest of us who wait till the last minute to buy them, only the broken ones are left. So we get stuck with the broken ones. But you got all the good ones, and they all worked. Except for one. Right? And you wanted all white lights, and that one strand is colored lights. Right? Or you wanted all these lights that stay on, and then you get one that does what? Blinks. And if you're easily annoyed like I am, that one blinking light will just drive you nuts. Right? And then it takes the engineering degree to solve the problem. Why is that blinking? And we get on Google and we get on YouTube and we ask the experts and they give you all kinds of electrical reasons and all kinds of why those are blinking and they shouldn't be blinking. And we go to the guy at Lowe's at the counter and we scream at them, these are blinking, they're not supposed to be blinking. And they look at us like, we don't care, you bought them. It says they blink, you just didn't pay attention. Or even if they're not supposed to blink and they start blinking. It's not working out. I don't have the power within me. I don't have the brain muscle to figure it out. Friday night, as we spent the first night in our house on Friday night, and we have a refrigerator, which a new one, which I'm not familiar with. And we came to, I think we went to dinner. We've been working all day. A few people were helping us move, and we came into town and ate dinner and went back to the house. And I get home and I hear, doot, 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 doot. What was that? I don't know. We go by unloading boxes, trying to get the girls' bed set up. Doot, 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 doot. Notice it's 5. Not 4, not 6, 5. And then 2 minutes later, doot, doot, doot. I'm like, what in the world? And we're just like playing Where's Waldo in our house. Or that, like if you hear, have you ever had a cricket in your house? It tweets it. Where is this beep coming from? So we get into the kitchen. Doot, 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 doot. It was a refrigerator. Normally, if it's beeping, something's what? Wrong. Open it, cold. Open the freezer, ice in there. It's making ice. It's cold inside. Shut it. Okay, maybe it just needed to be open and closed. Doot, 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 doot. And I told Melanie, I said, I know this is our new house and a new fridge to us, but I'm about to throw this thing out in the front yard. We're just going to go get another one. I don't have the power to fix it. I'm punched on. I've punched off. I've done everything I know to do. And Melanie, as is our life, she's usually the one to go take a deep breath. I Googled it. Here's how you fix it. And I was beating my head against the wall. I was open, shutting, pushing buttons. Maybe if I hold 2 and stick my tongue out, my leg like this and punch it, it'll quit. Again, like the lights, I was trying not to say words I shouldn't say at the refrigerator. And, you know, I wanted to bang my head against it. And she's like, oh, here's the answer. And you know what the answer was? The refrigerator was confused. I'm not joking, isn't it? The little Google thinks that your refrigerator is confused. It thinks the door's open when the door's closed. It thinks everything's wrong. Problems are, it's not right. That it's beeping. It's trying to tell you the world's falling apart. And the truth of the matter is, it's confused. So you open the door, but you can't leave it open because then what happens? It defrosts and everything. You lose everything. So you're in a what? I was in this lose-lose situation. If I leave it open, all my stuff goes bad. If I shut it, I'm probably going to have some bullet holes in my refrigerator because it won't shut up. See, we find ourselves in the same situation in life. We're in a lose-lose situation. If you try to do it yourself and just open the door and stand there, life's going to just melt away and go bad. If you just leave the door shut, then there's going to be this thing that gnaws at you. My food's fine. My ice cream's not melting. My ice is not melting. But there's just something that's, it's eating me up inside. It's a lose-lose. And God said for Christmas, I'm going to fix this. As we celebrate Christmas, I'm going to give you the answer to your brokenness. And what I'm going to do is the Bible says that Jesus brought us the power to fix our brokenness. In this case, Melanie showed up and was like, here's how you do it. Here's how you fix it. And you know how I had to fix it? I had to go up and unplug it. This is really easy. This is easy. I unplug it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I had the door open when I unplugged it. And it said, when the power comes back on, it'll beep twice, shut the door. It beeped twice, beep, beep, closed it. And then I stood there waiting on it to do what? I was like, I dare you. I said, we just moved one of my rifles. I was like, I got an AR in the closet, and I'm going to light you up. It holds 30 rounds, and I got 3 magazines. That's 90 holes. And if that doesn't shut you up, then you can just keep beeping. See, Jesus showed up and said, listen, just like Melanie walked up with the phone and said, here's the answer. It's just easy. Just before you lose it, before you make another bad decision, just go unplug it. Count to 5, shut the door. So as the praise team's going to come behind me, and guys, you can go ahead, and we're going to go back to our worship set, so the lights are going to go here in just a second. I want you to just close your eyes for a second. And I want you to do what I did the other night. And I want you to kind of unplug mentally from the thing that you've been plugged into that's not working. It's not the answer. It's what somebody told you. It's what you've tried. And then I want you, if you're saved, I want you just to plug in. Plug into the answer to your brokenness. And say, God, I'm sorry. I'm doing this myself, but and you sent your son. You sent me the answer. I'm worth the life of your son. He brought me the power to fix my brokenness. God, I'm sorry. Then for some of you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You've never made that commitment. Today I'm going to ask you to just simply believe that what happened on Christmas is that God sent his son to pay the price you couldn't pay and to fix a problem that you'll never be able to fix yourself. And my prayer for you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, is that when you'll be able to celebrate Christmas this year and it will have a whole new meaning. If you're watching online today, when you go to celebrate with your family, life will have a whole new meaning. Christmas will have a whole new perspective that today the answer to my problems showed up. The answer to all of my eternity problem, my life here on earth problem, it all was answered the day Jesus showed up. If that's you this morning, all you have to do, and I'm not going to bring you up here, I'm not going to embarrass you, you can just simply pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. God, I give you my life, and Jesus, now I plug into your power. I repent of my sins, and I follow you. And God, on that night when the angel showed up in the field to the shepherds, that night, God, I receive what you did back then. I receive it now to bring me life and light. That holy night, God, I take it now. It's that simple. It's that simple for you. Life changes when you use the power that he sent through his son Jesus to fix our brokenness. Amen? Amen. I know we normally we're still going to take up our offering, so ushers, you guys can go ahead and get in place. And we normally sing a song at the end, but we're going to sing a Christmas carol, and that's how we're going to close. And then afterwards, the offering is going to come while the Christmas carol, while we're singing it. But then afterwards, I want to bless your week. I just want to pray with you and bless you for Christmas. Bless your families. I know if you're already traveling or some of you will be traveling. And so don't run off real quick after we're done. But if you would, if you'll stand with me and you can grab your tithe and your offering. And if it's dark, I'm sorry, you can find it when the lights come back on. But if you're visiting with us, you're in a no obligation whatsoever to give. It's our honor to have you here. A lot of you have already given online. Actually, a large percentage of you now use the app and our website to tithe and to give, and that's wonderful. And we're going to pray and bless that. And then we're going to sing. So why don't you bow your heads? I'm going to switch over here. Let's bow our heads. And we'll bless this offering. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that it's more than enough. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that this offering is more than enough for us, Father. It's more than we need to do everything that you've asked us to do. But Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name that, Father, we give you our best because you proved what we're worth. God, you proved to us that, God, you're willing to give your all for us. And you sent your son, Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that the homes represented here have more than enough to do everything they need to do. And we thank you, Father God, that on that night, Father God, the holy night, the stars shined, the angels showed up, and you sent Jesus. And Father, we celebrate that now. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name.